If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that, from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. Hey, welcome back to the Relationships Made Easy podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Abby Metcalf, and today we're going to be talking about lying, manipulation, and avoidance in relationships. So if any of that is happening for you, if you feel like the trust has fallen out with you and your partner, or someone really close to you, you are in the right place. So stay tuned. I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, and I'm a psychologist, number one Amazon best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and all-around relationship maven. With over 30 years of experience helping people create connection, joy, and ease in all their relationships. What's my secret? Well, besides being totally hilarious, I help you think differently so you can approach your relationships in a completely new way. I'm the best deal in town because the tools I teach apply to all your relationships, which allows you to simplify your life and find the confidence, calm, and deep love you've been craving. Combining my hands-on experience and all the latest research, I've created actionable tips and tools you can apply quickly and easily to create lasting change in all your relationships today. So let's get to it. Hey, I'm back. It's nice to be here with you. I'm very excited, as always, to be doing the podcast, and always excited when I'm doing an Ask Dr. Abby episode. We've just started those here in season 4, and I'm really stoked about them. I have literally like piles of questions that have come in, which I just, all of them fascinating. But a lot of them are really similar in what you're asking. And so sometimes when they're super similar, I'm trying to kind of answer a few in one. And today we're going to really be covering, like I said in the intro, this lying, manipulation, avoidance, distrust. And it's really, I'm taking a different spin on it today. So this question is really good and has a lot of depth. So we're going to really be going there today. As always, you know, I sponsor the podcast myself. And if you want to support me and the podcast, I would greatly appreciate you checking out my book. I haven't talked about my book in a while. Be Happily Married, Even If Your Partner Won't Do a Thing, is just, I'm really proud of the book. It's an Amazon number one bestseller, and you can get it also on Audible. You can get it, you know, digital, Kindle, obviously as an actual hardcover copy. And I really hope you check it out. And it does come with a bonus toolkit that's for free that you can download to really, you know, get that learn on and really change your relationship. And even if you're not married, it all works. And if you are liking the podcast, I would greatly, as always, appreciate you leaving a review. And if you like it, hopefully 5 stars. And leave a review. It really helps, you know, all the algorithm stuff and all that if you do that. And if you listen on Audible, because we're on Audible now, the podcast is, not just my book, then it'd be great if you left a review there. That would be super amazing. So that's enough of that. Let's get to the question. So here we go. And I'm going to change some of this a little bit, but basically, this person wrote in and she said, well, first of all, she says, Abby, you do amazing work and bring knowledge to the world that has improved my life and the relational lives of others. I love your longer podcasts. So some of you have written in that you don't like the longer podcasts. You like them shorter. But see, this is what happens for me. It's hard to please everybody. But as you know, I like to babble. So a lot of times they're longer because I just like to get it all in. So what she's saying is that she searched for lying in my search engine. You know, if you go to my website, you can, there's a search engine in there and you can search like lying, cheating, whatever, you know, mindfulness, whatever floats your boat, and you'll get whatever I've written, talked about, you know, the blog, everything there. And so she says she's looked for that and she's listened to almost all the podcasts and my book. Thank you. But there's something that hasn't quite been answered. And it's a really good question she asked. So I'm excited to get into this because I think a lot of you have this and don't realize it, that it's happening. So she says, I'm in a, you know, she and her husband are in this sort of dynamic where her husband will lie to manage her emotions. Do you know how common this is? I just want to say that. This happens all the time, but people don't realize that's what's happening. That someone is, you know, saying yes, yes, yes to something because they don't want you to get upset. But then later they're going and doing whatever it is that they really wanted to do anyway. And they're kind of ignoring what you asked or whatever, you know, or they're again saying yes to things that they really don't want to say yes to because they're trying not to get you upset. And that's lying. It's lying. I know. But we don't necessarily think of it as lying. You know, lying we think of as more as, you know, she said she was out with her girlfriends and she was really out with a guy. That's a lie. That feels like the lie. But this managing emotions, and I do want to say though, I put it in a slightly different category than quote unquote regular lying like that. Like, you know, maybe you're cheating on your partner and you're lying about it. That to me is different than this emotional manipulation. Most of the time people do it and they have no idea they're doing it. And that is different than lying. When we lie, we know we're doing it. So I want to say that first. First, I haven't even read the whole question yet, but I want to say that first and foremost. So, and it also helps you really think of it differently. Your partner trying to manage your emotions isn't cool, and we want to change that, but they're not knowingly, maliciously trying to like get over, usually. Sometimes they are if they, you know, again, if there's a really sinister thing going on, but what this woman's talking about and what other people have come to me with, it's usually not sinister. It's just people trying to get by in their marriage and trying not to rock the boat is generally what it is. But of course, when that happens, we avoid intimacy and closeness and that becomes a problem. So let me keep reading and I'll try to shut up for a moment. So now I have to find my place. Sorry. So she says, he lies to manage my emotion, isn't he expects constant peace and happiness and avoids having the experience of uncomfortable emotions. So he's really wanting it always to be like good. He doesn't want to see me sad or thinks that he just wants a happy, peaceful evening. So maybe, you know, she tries to talk to him and he's avoiding things. For me, this feels fake and doesn't allow us to have a deep, intimate connection. True. I understand this need in him. She's, by the way, this person who wrote this, I wish I could say her name out loud, but I'm keeping it anonymous. But I love how she's writing this. It's just beautiful because she's taking responsibility too and being very loving about it. So, but it's okay if you write to me and you're just bitching and moaning about your partner. We're cool. We're going to be cool. So only for me, this feels fake and doesn't allow us to have a deep intimate connection. I understand this need in him. Only certain emotions must have been allowed in his family. And I suspect that everyone was expected to be happy. I mean, that was my family. I never saw my parents fight. Literally. They did not fight. Did not fight. I saw some kind of snipping sometimes, you know, little teasing that didn't feel good. But they never actually like fought. You know, neither of them ever marched out of the house. Like that stuff did not happen in my house. So, you know, I felt like I grew up in kind of this perfect house. But what happens when that goes on is that we don't tolerate unwanted emotions very well. Because remember, feeling emotions, identifying emotions and feeling emotions and expressing emotions, that's a skill set. You're not born with that. Well, you can't, that's not true. You're born with that, but then it gets beaten out of you, kind of. So yeah, babies have a want or a need, you know, and they will cry or do whatever babies do to get, you know, maybe even smile at you once they can to get their needs met. But often, like if there's a baby crying and nobody ever comes or does anything, the baby learns to stop crying. So they respond to the environment. So you do learn these skills, but you don't learn healthy ones, I guess is really what I should have said about that. So that's kind of how that looks. So I can imagine he doesn't trust me. Otherwise, he would be more open and vulnerable. And again, I don't know that it's just about trusting you to the person reading this and to the person feeling this. I know you're listening right now and many of you going, oh, that's me. We often ascribe meaning to what our partners do. We decide what it means. Well, he knew how I would react when he said that. He did that to get my goat. She should know by now that bugs me, whatever. You know, we do this thing about reading minds. So let's not go there. And she says, I can imagine. She says nice language here, but it's not, you're right. She's right. He doesn't trust, but he doesn't realize he doesn't trust. If someone asked him, I'm sure he would say he trusts her 100%. Because we often think of trust as like that, you know, oh, my husband won't steal my money or cheat on me, so I trust him. But trust is a multi-layered piece. And I have a podcast on the trust triad. There's like three pieces to trust, which I'll link to in the show notes. But for now, and maybe I'll mention a little bit as we go. But anyway, that's a kind of separate nuance of all this. So, but let's keep going. I don't know how to change myself to receive more honesty from him. I also don't know how to set up consequences for this behavior of his and acknowledge that there must be something about me that needs to change. It's gotten to the point for me that I even question it if he says he loves me. I hear this a lot. Again, I loved this because I had other people write in with questions that were similar to this in tone and in my practice with couples. And individuals, I see this, you know, people will say to me, I don't even know if I can trust that he loves me anymore, or they really just don't believe it deep down, you know, and that can be their own stuff, their stuff, whatever. I don't feel safe with him. Oh, I'm sorry. And the fact that he lies to me shows that he doesn't trust or feel safe with me, which he would deny. Oh, she does say that. I guess I didn't read that very well the first time through. I know that my negativity bias is in play and that there is also truth in what I'm feeling. Yes. Very nice. I hope you learned all this on my podcast because you're killing it here. It's true. Both are true. We have some negativity bias and then there's truth in what we're feeling. Yes, both are true. So get that. I no longer know what to believe that he tells me and logically know that he is truthful about plenty of things. I'm fighting this negativity bias and negative sentiment. I just no longer know when I can have faith in what he tells me and I don't know what to do. Could you do a deep dive on dishonesty and how to overcome lying in a relationship? I know you've covered trust. You know, she talks about that. But okay, so there's a lot to say here, right? Which I've already said. I've already said some of it. But there's a lot going on in that. When our partners, okay, so let's just start here. So, you know, men and women communicate differently. Those of us in heterosexual relationships, I'll just throw that out there. And if we're using, you know, for the terms of the podcast, I do say men and women. And there's this different style of communication that happens. And I'm going to do an episode on that. How do you like that? I'm going to do like a regular episode with the research and all that on male, female communication, how that's different. How do you like them apples? So, but anyway, either way, for now, just know that yes. So this communication is different and, women, you know, we're just, again, socialized we're socialized more around our feelings than men are in general here in the United States. So a lot of times, and again, and I don't know what kind of family this man grew up in or that she grew up in. You know, I don't have any background when you guys send me these things. So there could be, you know, if you come from an alcoholic home, for example, or, you know, the parents were alcoholic and you're a child of an alcoholic, there's some rules in those homes. Don't talk, don't trust, don't feel. And so when you pull that into a long-term relationship or a marriage, obviously not talking, not trusting, not feeling is a problem. So you can say all the right things and do all the right things, but it's very much, you know, what he's doing is very indicative of those kind of homes. And maybe he just comes from a really dysfunctional home, or who knows? Again, I don't know. I don't have all the background. But what I can say is that there's a little bit of an avoidant kind of thing going on, right? And that's what we have to talk about. The issue here isn't lying, it's avoidance. I'm going to say it again. The issue here isn't lying, it's avoidance. And so when we start talking that this person's lying to me and I can't trust anything they say, that's the place where you want to stop that conversation in your head. You are catastrophizing, you're generalizing, and you're misinformed. You're going down a road that's the wrong road. So what happens a lot in the ways we grow up, I've talked about attachment styles before, and again, I will link to that in the show notes. I'm writing myself a note, so I remember to do that. There's secure attachment, there's avoidant and anxious that I talk about. There can be more, but for the sake of ease. And so what happens when people are anxiously attached is they're, you know, kind of running after their partners and always looking for reassurance, always looking to have the conversations, always looking to go deeper. And no matter what gets said, they still don't quite believe it. And so, and I'm not sure if the person who wrote in has a little bit of an anxious detachment style, but it sounds it a little bit, maybe not though. But I would lean that way. I say if there was a leaning, so maybe it's secure and healthy and good with a little bit of leaning into the anxiety, the anxiousness, hence kind of globalizing or generalizing what all these things mean that her husband's doing. But it sounds like the husband, and again, we are never supposed to diagnose people without meeting them. So I am going hypothetical here, because again, I don't have all the information. But I would say that the husband sounds a bit avoidant. And avoidance, I am a happy recovering avoidant. And sometimes not always recovering, because I still like things nice and peaceful and good. And I had years and years of not understanding how I felt about things, or even knowing I had feelings, or that I should express them, or how to do that healthfully. I mean, the only reason you become a psychologist and become a relationship expert for all these years is because, you know, frankly, I sucked at relationships. So I wanted to get better. And I was in my own pain. You know, any therapist pretty much usually has a pretty screwed up background to want to come and do this. But hopefully, if we're good at it, we've had a lot of therapy, a lot of training, and a lot of experience and all that good stuff. So having said that, with avoidance, so I can speak very intimately about us avoidance, we sort of manage sometimes people's emotions. We don't have the hard conversations. We don't want to go deep on things because we don't know how to cope or deal. Our tolerance for the hard conversations is very low because we haven't practiced them. We don't have experience with them if we come from these certain kinds of family. If we've been, you're avoidant, that style gets attached to you when you're an infant and a young little person. So you've been doing that for decades by the time you're talking to me. And so you have been sort of subtly avoiding these things. And what you learn to be able to avoid and still have relationships and still have people around and still have, you know, a way that you're social is you learn how to subtly manipulate other people's emotions and or the situation. And you don't realize you're doing it. Trust me, I didn't know I was doing that for years. I just thought I was like happy all the time. And I don't like all these downer people. And why is everybody making such a big deal out of everything? You know, so we dismiss. If I had back in the day, you know, if a boyfriend said, hey, you know, I really want to talk to you, I either broke up with them or, or I avoided that at all costs. I'd work double shifts. I'd go find something else, you know, to do so we could get past that conversation. I remember feigning being sick before. I said I was screwed up. Okay. I've done work on myself, but I'm talking back in the day. So, but that's right. How that kind of goes. And So what I see happening is that her husband is avoiding, he just doesn't have practice at this. He doesn't know how to do it. So it's not, again, it's not lying. He's not knowingly deceiving, none of that. And it brings him his own pain in a way, but he's a fish who doesn't know he's wet. He's never had this intimacy you speak of. He thinks it is intimate. He thinks it is good. I'm sure if I talk to her in person, if I talk to him or her, he'd say, why is she complaining? Like, we do good. We get along great. I don't know why she's, you know, all up in arms about this. But I know that feeling on the other side. Of course, I hear what she's saying, that it just feels, you feel abandoned. You feel dismissed. And you're looking to have that connection. It's not there. And again, if you're a little, you know, it's very common for anxious folks to get with avoidant folks. That's a very common duo. So that's what I think is happening. Again, I'm taking a guess and I'm from afar, but that's what I think is happening. So what I would say is a few things. So fear is really the issue in the relationship. He's having fear. And that's why he's avoiding, but he doesn't even know he's got it, right? You're having fear, I would say to the person who wrote this, because you see, you know, again, you're kind of generalizing and having that negativity thing, but also you are ascribing a lot of meaning to this and you are afraid, I'm sure, you know, for your own feelings. How can I even trust he loves me? You know, you're doing this whole thing. So it gets really scary in there. And what do I always say? Fear never helps a relationship. It never makes it better. So I end up with two people in fear, and we're not gonna get where we want to go. So the first things first is I would say, as a down and dirty, that you want to focus on what you do want. So the first thing I would have this person do, I'm just gonna call her Janet. How about Jane? What do we want to call her? Juanita. Something. She doesn't feel like a Janet. That's why I'm having trouble. I'm going to call her Rebecca. I like that. I'll call her Rebecca. So I would tell Rebecca, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, so what we want to do is bring him along. What have I talked about over and over? When right now she's in her place, and she sees him over there. It's a straight line right now. And she's trying to drag him to where she is. And that's not working. It doesn't work when we do that with our partners. When we're trying to bring them to where we are, you know, see things the way we see it, you know, come over to our side, whatever you want to call that. When we do that, the person resists. They feel it. They can, because now we're manipulating them. We're saying, I have the right way to do it. You're doing it wrong. And you should come over here. So instead, what I want Rebecca to do is I want her to go meet her husband where he is. So I want her to walk over. It's not back, because it's not someone's ahead of someone else. I want her to walk over to where he is and join him there. From there, I want them, again, what do I always talk about? It's not a line, it's a triangle. So right now we're on a line. I'm over here. It's like a tug of war. Picture a rope between the two people. And I'm trying to tug you to where I am. And he's resisting. He's holding on. Instead, I want you to drop the rope. And I want you both to look up. So, you know, you want to go where he is. And you want to look towards a new destination together. And you can't decide that you're right. You can't decide that you know the only answer that the two of you should get to. All you can do is know that you want more. You want something else. What is it that you want? And where I would start with that, if you want to meet him where he is I would start with some very easy questions. And I would do it in a very nonchalant way, like over dinner, you know, or over breakfast even. Don't even do dinner. Dinner's too serious. Over coffee in the morning, you know, hey, you know, or while you're watching TV, go, I just thought of something, you know. I want it more like that. Very, very, very casual. And by the way, I have these chunky earrings on, I'm realizing, which you're probably hearing clanging around. But anyway, so just ignore that. So I want you to remember too that you have to connect to correct. So for Rebecca to get her man, you know, where she wants him, right? Already that's manipulative. We don't want to do that. we have to connect first on an emotional level. So if she's feeling abandoned, dismissed, you can't get to the loving place from that place. So I need her to step in. She's the one who's in pain, and whoever's in the most pain needs to change first. I say this all the time. So this is Rebecca, you know, your man's not in pain. He thinks he would rather you just shut up about this and we just kept going. So, and I'm not saying that's real, you know, it's pain he doesn't even realize he has, because again, he doesn't know what you could have. He doesn't know what that is. You need to show him. And so if he saw more intimacy, more closeness, more love, more appreciation, that's where, right? That's attractive. I want more of that. I want to spend more time with you. I am willing to have more difficult conversations maybe when I feel really connected first. But what's happening, and this happens commonly, is Rebecca's feeling, well, I feel disconnected, so I want him to do this thing so I can feel connected. And it has to go the other way, because again, she's the one in the pain right now. Once you do that, by the way, your partner kind of comes along. Hence the name of my book, Be Happily Married Even If Your Partner Won't Do a Thing, because when you change behavior, other people change theirs. That's what happens. When you do it consistently over time with a healthy, loving intention, that's what happens. Just telling you, happens every time. Doing this 35 years, always happens. So again, unless you're dealing with someone with a severe mental health disorder, it's always going to happen. And there's very few people with that. So what I would want to do is say to him, I want Rebecca to say to him, hey, I got a question. What do you want to see more of in our relationship? Like, if we had the perfect relationship, what would we be doing more of? Start there. And he might say, well, we have the perfect relationship, you know, cop out, right? But let him dream. Go, now, come on. We have millions of dollars. We've got more money than we know what to do with. The kids are out of the house or whatever. You know, what would you like to see more of? Like, what are your dreams? Like, what are things, like, not about the relationship necessarily, but in general, you can start general and then get to the relationship. But you can ask, again, so depending on what the answer is, you might start very general. You know, what are some dreams you have in your life? What are things you're really excited about that you'd like to do that you feel like we can't right now? What are some things we could just, you know, what could we do? What are some things you could have now in your life that you'd like to have more of that we could make a priority? And then again, what would you like to see more of in the relationship? What kinds of things would, you know, would be so great? If you felt super loved every day by me, what things would I be saying? If you felt really just so appreciative, if you understood how much I love you, because I do, and it's deep and it's real, what would I be saying? Or you can say, when have you felt the most loved by me? What was I doing? What was I saying? When have you felt the most appreciated by me? What was I doing? What was I saying? All of these kinds of things. Do you see where we're going here? We're looking ahead. We're connecting and we're looking ahead. Again, we're not trying to drag. Rebecca's not trying to drag her husband anywhere. And Rebecca has to stay curious. She knows what she thinks she wants, but what could they have together? And how could they get there as a team? How could they get there together side by side and not with her out front dragging him? Because that means she knows the only destination. And again, he's going to resist if that's how it feels. So you want people, and it's important. He should be part of the answer. He should be part of the solution. That's collaborative. That's a couple. So start, I'm going to tell you, Rebecca, so get your head in the love space. Let go of a lot of this stuff you're thinking about. You will have time later. Think about it. When you're really connected, you can start asking, you know, hey, I tried to talk to you the other night and I noticed you didn't want to talk. What are you afraid is going to happen in the conversation? Or maybe there's a way to set up conversations. Again, after this connection, after this kind of, you know, getting ourselves into this different feeling state, maybe there's a time to ask different kinds of questions, like, or setting yourself up differently. Sorry, for the conversation where you say, hey, you know, I know we're going to talk about this thing. So I just want you to know, we're going to totally have a great conversation. I am committed to that. I'm going to really listen to you. It's my intention to really listen, to be fully here with full heart. And I really want to hear what you have to say. I really am. And you have to be, don't bullshit. People know. I am curious. I want to be curious, and I am curious about what you think about X, Y, or Z. And that is how you get to where you're trying to go. And again, let go of the outcome. stay in the process, because what you want to know, because again, our outcome isn't seen yet. When I say where you want to go, yeah. Because where you really want to go is connection. That's where Rebecca's trying to go. She's trying to connect. She wants to feel understood. She wants to feel appreciated. She wants to feel connected to this man. That's what we're trying to do. So if you can have that in a moment, in that very moment, and there will be with these kinds of questions and this kind of thing, absolutely there will be. And you grab those little moments and you start building on those moments. What happens though is people aren't connected and they're trying to jump into the deep end of a conversation and they haven't learned to swim yet. So again, you gotta kind of bring this along, but you don't bring it along by having the conversation in little bits and pieces. Where instead, you bring it along by starting with connection, starting with where you do want to go, starting with, so what we're doing is we're allowing some of the avoidance, a little of the exact topic, that deeper topic that Rebecca's husband can't even get to yet. He doesn't even know what's going on. So how is he supposed to uncover it? So instead, we're just working on that connection. And that's how both of you start to open up a little, start to see things a little differently. And for sure, you start to see yourselves as a team, a shared resource, a team. And from there, we can do anything. We can move forward and do all kinds of things. So that's how you develop the trust. That's how you shift the focus. And that's how you stop the avoidance. So I hope I answered that well for everybody. I feel good about that, actually. I like where that went. I hope you do too. And that's it for today. So as you know, you can send in your questions to abby@abbymetcalf.com. And like I said, I will answer them here in the Ask Dr. Abby segments, which are happening kind of every other week in the podcast, in the Relationships Made Easy podcast. And make sure that you get my book, support our girl here. No, I hope you get the book. I'm really proud of it. And I hope you check that out. And at the very least, please, please, please do leave a review. And if you check me out on Audible, leave a review there. And that's it. I'm really excited about, I'm loving season 4 right now. I am in love. I'm in love with you. I am in love with season 4. I am in love with answering this question. It feels so good right now. And I'm really grateful. See, I get all teary when I do this. I'm really grateful that you allow me in like this. It brings me great joy. That's it. Remember, I love you and have a wonderful, wonderful week. Thank you for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with wonderful me, Dr. Abby Metcalf. And I've got two quick things to say. Just give me one more minute. First, I love spending this time with you and I work hard to make sure every single episode is going to help you move from any feelings of frustration or resentment or anxiety to that connected, hopeful, confident. That's always my goal. So if you have any ideas for a future episode or just want to say hi, let me know what the podcast is doing for you. Anything, you can email me at abby@abbymetcalf.com. How simple is that? And the second thing I want to say is if you like the podcast, you're going to go crazy, crazy for my book. My book is really good. I'm really proud of it. You can find it on Amazon or on my website under the shop section on my website at abbymetcalf.com. It's called Be Happily Married, Even If Your Partner Won't Do a Thing. And even if your partner will do a thing, the book will still really help you. So that's it. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you soon.